Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Thursday, August 20th, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead. We are live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to get in on the Adams Gorfing text line, on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines today. 1 week, yes, 7 calendar days away from our Bud Light college football kickoff show, Southern Weaving Food Hall here in Easley, 5 to 8. Don't be afraid to show up early. Don't be afraid to stick around after. It's going to be a great time. We're excited for that, and more details to come on that because I think it's going to be a tremendous show. Want to just keep putting it out there for the people. Get in your RSVPs. Not that we need to know how many are coming, but it makes us feel good. Ben Milstead, happy Thursday, sir. How we feel?
Happy Thursday, Quack. I feel great. I'm glad you mentioned the kickoff show. You know, when you do it every year, you would think you would get maybe lose some enthusiasm for it. I am jacked for the next Thursday show. I really am. I love the location. I love the fact that we're going to mix it up a little bit in terms of, you know, the type of content we've gotten in the past. We will have Dabo Swinney at some point in the show, as well as Shane Beamer, per usual. Both of those schools always good to us, and they do everything they can to accommodate. So it's right in the middle of practice time for both schools. So it's can be a little tricky. Not that he's stopping practice, but that's usually when practice is ending. So that is looking forward to that. And, you know, looking forward to the little show here today.
Oh, there's no telling what we're going to get into.
Can I tell you this? Random acts of kindness just warm my heart. I'm trying to be a better person with that. You know, you see somebody that needs something. I went to the Ingles today. Haven't been this week. Went to the Ingles.
All right.
My Ingles and Easley. I will, as I'm walking in, you know, somebody's putting groceries in their car and their buggy's about empty. As a practice, I'll say, you want me to take that buggy for you? Most people will appreciate that. So I'm in there. I call my wife on the way, like, going to Ingles, is there anything that you need? And she gives me a couple items, one of which I'd never bought before at any grocery store. She said, I need diced onions.
Okay.
I don't want to cut them at home, you know, for obvious reasons. Not fun cutting onions. I need diced onions. Can you get me some diced onions? Sure. 5 minutes of standing in the wrong location in the produce section. Because I got no clue on that stuff. All right. A nice older lady named Doris said, you look like you're looking for something. And I said, I am. Would you happen to know where the diced onions are? She said, well, those have to be refrigerated, so they're not going to be out here in the middle where the undiced onions are. Your regular, if you will. They are right over there. And Doris walked me over to the diced onions. And I thanked her and asked her name. And then she said, is there anything else that you're looking for? I said, no, ma'am, I know where everything else is in this entire store except for diced onions.
And now you know that.
You know, just a small little act of kindness totally makes somebody's day. And it made my day.
That's awesome. Shout to Doris. Get it done, Doris.
I know. I should have told Doris. I'm sure Doris is a big listener of the station.
Absolutely.
Like everyone is. So, Doris was a customer. I am, thank you, Texter. That is something I should have mentioned right out of the gate. Doris was a customer. She was not an employee.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Oh, my See, God. Man, okay, wait a minute.
I buried the lead.
Wait a minute.
So now it's a different story. I stink. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can I need to tell you this, okay? That is a – what you just described, once we got all the details out there in the open, is a dangerous interaction, okay? That's a dangerous interaction.
Tell me more.
I think there's nothing more risky in life that's absolutely mundane, okay? Saving somebody from a burning building, very risky, not mundane. Stopping after a car wreck, very risky, not mundane. These are risky things that are absolutely risky. This is a mundane, risky thing. To be a random asking another random, y'all are equals, okay? Equals. You are asking another random if that random needs help with something that ideally you should be equally capable of. Now, the interaction with you and Doris was great because Doris perceived that you were having problems and you correctly perceived that you required help and that Doris could give you that help. That interaction went well because everybody was super self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
If you were not self-aware, that would have been an embarrassing question from Doris, and it would have made you mad, and you could have snapped at Doris. I'm not saying you would do that. I'm saying from Doris's perspective, to ask that question in 2026, you're taking a chance there, my friend.
Yeah, I would hope no one would snap at something so innocent. If you're the type that would snap at somebody for that, then you're a horrible person. I hope that we don't have anyone that would do that, but you are probably right. There's some of those out there. And then, you know, as I was then making my way to the other side of the store to the Milo Sweet Tea, I overanalyzed it, as I oftentimes do, with I feel good that I was approachable. I looked approachable, so
yes,
good for Doris. But then I thought, how confused did I look? What were my facial expressions? Do I need to be more self-aware? Because Doris read the situation and acted, and Doris nailed it.
That's correct. Now, Texter says, I would not consider them equals. She knew where the diced onions were. But I'm saying ideally, like you're a shopper. I'll just tell you this. At the gym this morning, I had a hard workout today. It was tough. Mentally, was not prepared for that, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of sweat. I kind of ran out of gas. Like it was just tough and I wasn't ready. Two different people helped me out on different machines that I've used before. That just because of the workout I was in, maybe my legs are a little weary, whatever, I just wasn't doing it quite right. So not like a trainer, okay. Somebody works at the gym. I wasn't doing it quite right. And so it's crazy that you brought this up because I had the same thought. Like, In the state I was in, I needed assistance, and I didn't take it personally that they gave it. But I would be scared at the gym to be like, hey, you can – and it was somebody I've been working out with was like, hey, you can come down a little deeper on that if you want.
Okay, so it's someone that you had a little bit of a relationship with.
I would say very, very little. In both cases, like somebody I would say, hey, in passing, that kind of thing.
Because you have moved this conversation into another arena that would more sponsor what you just said. Gym people are finicky.
Uh-huh.
Gym people, a lot of gym people think they know best and they don't need help. So, you know, you're using that machine wrong is oftentimes met with a defensive person and no, I want to do it this way.
Right.
You know, that's a little bit different. Same like on a golf course, you know, it's a general rule. I don't give golf tips to other people because I'm not good at it. Number one, but you know, when you're on a golf course, you're frustrated. Nobody wants, that's not the time you want tips unless somebody asks for them.
Right.
Gym, vastly different than grocery store.
Okay.
In human interaction.
Okay. I just kind of had the thought, like, I would have watched that and gone, this could go badly for him. But not say anything, because I'm a little bit afraid to speak up like that in the gym. And maybe I shouldn't be.
Future Dwight said all over it. Grocery store help is different than gym help. Don't critique my machine form at the gym. Absolutely. Absolutely, Dwight. You know, unless – now, there have been times that you see somebody who is – really struggling and they look like they need help, but yeah, that's so gym very different than grocery than produce section of Ingles.
So I'm giving off the same vibe that you were giving off trying to find the diced onions when I'm at the squat machine and my feet are too far back and the one person is like, you
drop your hips.
Hey, you're probably gonna want to move your feet a little bit. And it was nice. Like in both cases, the help that I got was nice. It wasn't like, you idiot, you're going to kill yourself. It wasn't like that. And it wasn't that serious. But I appreciated it because I was tired and my legs were not helping. And so if I was trying to squat, do 25 squats, and I'm on the squat machine, it was not going to go well. What I was doing was going to end up with a busted nose or something. Like, it was not going to go well. So I appreciated the help in the state I was in, as I said, knowing I would never do that to another person. So so golf course, I think, is another good spot where, like, you really have to know the person. And even if you know the person, you really have to pick that spot.
Pick and choose, yes, yeah. Very much. Texter said, Ben, tell the truth. You got in trouble for packing all the diced onions from the salad bar in a container and Doris bailed you out. You know, Texter... I did not think about that. 30 seconds before Doris approached me, 30 seconds after, rather, I might have, because that's a brilliant idea. Might have been a little bit cheaper, actually. That's a great perspective there.
Mr. Milstead, would you like a salad? No, not today. Just give me all of the diced onions that you have.
Just an onion fan. You know, they have an olive bar. Just going to make my own onion bar.
Okay, I have one more. This is crazy how this intersects. I'm pulling in the parking lot here today, and you know the thought that I'm listening to Faxon and Grayson. They're having a great discussion. The thought I can't get out of my mind, and this is for absolutely no reason, there is no reason I'll be having this thought, is what in the world do we need five kinds of onions for? Like, I'm just thinking about that.
You really had that thought?
Yes. What is the difference between a sweet onion and a yellow onion and a gold onion and a blue onion and a Vidalia onion? Like, what is that? Like, what is on my burger that's different from what's in my tacos? Like, what is the difference there? Why do I need to be specific for I need one sweet onion or one yellow onion? What is the difference? Can anybody in the entire world actually tell the difference if I get the wrong kind of onion?
What in the world was Faxon talking about that sparked that thought?
I have no idea.
We've never once said the word onion on the air unless it's referring to crying. And we both had an onion interaction today.
We're in sync today.
We're morphing into the same person, and I don't know how I feel about that.
We're definitely in sync. Texter Melissa says this. Yes, yellow onions are going to make you cry. Sweet onions will not. But I'm talking about when you put it on a burger or you put it in a thing, are they going to taste different? Riley says purple is wildly different than a normal one. I could not tell you. I could not tell you the difference. I can tell you the difference in a green apple and a red apple, okay? And I can tell you individual differences between types of green and red apples. I can tell you the difference in different kinds of lettuce by texture. I have absolutely zero idea what the difference is in one onion and another. But I do know that the list that I have, I stood there paralyzed with fear one time because my wife put one onion on a grocery list, and I was like, oh my gosh. What in the world do I do here? There are so many kinds of onions.
Yeah, some can be very hot. Some are sweet. You know, that's about as far as I go.
One tastes yellow, one tastes sweet, and one tastes Vidalia. That's what I'm getting from this. All right, let's take a break. 654-ROAR is the number. I don't know where we go from here, but we're going to do a show after this.
The Anderson Area Touchdown Club is celebrating their 45th football season kickoff with Facts on Sport, broadcasting live on Friday, August 21st from 9 to noon at the Anderson Institute of Technology campus at 315 Pearman Dairy Road in Anderson. Facts In will interview the Anderson County High School head football coaches and key players, and you're invited to come experience it live. Then at noon, enjoy the first Touchdown Club meeting of the season. Visit the Anderson Area Touchdown Club page on Facebook or call 864-616-6471 for more information.
Y'all funny, man. Grassnerds.com is the best. Grassnerds, they are local people. Use all the 15 kinds of onions for.
Listen, there's two things our listeners are passionate about, and I've always said this, always. One is college football. The other is onions. Clearly.
I mean, look at the text line. They're just, it blew up. It totally blew up. People were so upset. Let's go to the phone. You know, Mike and Anderson asked us a question the other day about coaches, and I was actually thinking about this. It kind of made me mad. Not Mike's question made me mad, but the topic in the athletic coaching list, that there are like two coaches in Tier 1 in all of college football, I think is kind of silly. So at some point today, I want to talk about how many coaches are in Tier 1. Mike is – the reason I brought it up is Mike is up with us next on the Pratt Andrew Large phone line. 654-ROAR is the number. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Clark, Ben, hope you guys are doing well. Had a couple of quick questions for you and a sideline question. I'll only take a second. Is your grandfather, Bill, the Georgia Tech grad, is he still with us, Clark?
Yes, he is. He's doing well. Yes, he is.
I'm so glad. He'd be in his 80s now, right?
Yes. He just had a birthday, as a matter of fact. Yeah, he's in his 80s now.
I'm going to have to visit him one day. Just a great guy, but... two questions, and they are college football related, and I also, thanks to you and Ben, especially Ben, I went back and did some research about Kurt Cignetti. I took some shots at him the other day. I still don't like the guy. I still am not sure that he will be the long-term success that he has been in the last 2 years, but based on the facts I researched, again, thanks to Ben, probably one of the dumbest calls ever made to your show, especially by me, to take shots at Kurt Cignetti. And I admit it, I take a little crow. But two college football questions for you, if you have time. Facts had Grayson Mann on his show today. And number one, he was talking about Roland Hanifin may have a larger role defensively this year. Based on what I saw last year, and he's a kid who gives 100%, he always busts his hump, but that would concern me just a little bit. And number two, for some reason, Taj Boyd was brought up today. Taj Boyd, in my opinion, is the most underappreciated, underrated quarterback in the history of Death Valley. I think if he'd have had the offensive line that Deshaun and Trevor Lawrence had, I think he probably wins a national championship. Can't prove it. We'll never know. But the question on Taj is, I thought he would be a quality backup in the NFL for a long time and just wondered if you had any thoughts on why he didn't make it. But I thank you for taking my call. And as usual, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. My default answer on the NFL, particularly a quarterback, is there's a supply and demand problem at quarterback. Like, teams just can't carry a whole bunch of quarterbacks. Like, if you're a running back, they're going to carry a few on the roster, and then you're going to have a couple practice squad guys. You've got a couple hundred running backs in the league running around, special teams player, all that kind of stuff. Same as wide receiver. At quarterback, you're basically carrying two quarterbacks and maybe a practice squad guy. So some of it is supply and demand. Like, there's not many spots, and there are enough guys who are from far-flung schools that didn't get seen or whatever. I think that's probably going to be a little bit less the case now because of the transfer portal. Like, if you are an NFL future and you play in a Division II school, you might find your way up to, you know, FCS and then FBS. I mean, the Trinidad Chambliss example is perfect. Like, it's possible that Trinidad Chambliss makes a roster in the NFL and ends up an undrafted or sixth round or seventh round quarterback that ends up making a bunch of money in the NFL, you know, 15 years ago. But he's able to go from Ferris State to Ole Miss, and now he's making a lot of money in college as well, and he may be a first-round pick. So I think quarterback is a little bit different like that. I agree that Taj is probably underrated in that way. I would say more so than offensive line was defense. Like, the 2011 defense was fine, but they also famously gave up 70 in the Orange Bowl. The 2012 defense with Brent Venables first, that was not a very good defense. The 2013 team, they gave up 51 to Florida State. So there were some real blow-ups there on the defensive side of the ball that hurt. And I do think that Taj Boyd would be viewed differently if the defense that, for example, Deshaun Watson had in 2016 or the defense that Trevor Lawrence had in 18 and 19 or even like the 2021 defense that was amazing, that was winning games like 12-9 in some of the ugliest games you've ever seen with your two eyes, that things may have been a little bit different there. And now I'm trying to think of the other question that Mike asked. The first question that Mike asked was, I went on a tangent on that, the second one.
Was it about Cignetti or was it after
that? He did talk about Cignetti. Maybe that was it. Maybe that was the whole conversation there, was that it was Ronan Hanifin. Ronan Hanifin, there we go. Now, I heard Faxon and Grayson talking about Ronan Hanifin. I do think we need to be, and I think this is what they said. I think this is probably a fair characterization, and it's a little different than just a slight misinterpretation of what they were talking about. I don't think it is fair to say that Ronan Hanifin is going to have a bigger role on this defense than he did last year when he started a bunch of games. I don't see Ronan Hanifin as a starter at safety. You could argue maybe a nickel in some personnel groupings that he plays some nickel, or maybe one of the other safeties drops down to nickel and he plays some safety. But they needed Hanifin to play hundreds of snaps last year, and I'm going to say hundreds more snaps than he was ready to play. So I don't think that Ronan Hanifin is going to have an expanded role from last year. I think the conversation they were having was about Ronan Hanifin having an expanded role on this team now than he would have before Polo Anderson got hurt, which I think is unavoidable. And it also speaks to this. I said this earlier. The thing that I dislike most about the Polo Anderson injury with Clemson's defense is that it shrinks the gap between the guys that weren't there last year and the guys that were. The stench of the safety position last year is still all over this thing, okay? You brought in two transfers and one impact freshman, but Hanifin's still in there. You know, Khalil Barnes was out, Ricardo Jones was out. You replaced those with two transfers, but you've got some guys back there that, even as lousy as the safeties were last year, were not considered helpful enough to even give a try. You know, and it's not to say that they can't improve too. I've said this all offseason. The portal has taught us one wrong lesson, and that is the only way you get better is importing a better player. You don't get better with player development. We've actually convinced ourselves that the player we saw last year is exactly the same player as we're going to see next year. And if you want a better player, don't even bother with that guy. Go get somebody that's already better. I think that's unfortunate because I still think most of the gains that you're seeing are year-over-year improvement, even from the guys you bring in. You know, Corey Myrick better be better than he was last year. I mean, no question. These guys have to be better than they were last year. London Merritt better be better than he was last year. Elliott Washington, Donovan Starr, they better be better than they were last year. And Ronan Hanifin has to be better than he was last year. But they don't need him to start and play 70 snaps because nobody else is ready. And that's where, like I say, my objection is that nobody is saying, and it's not the plan right now, that Ronan Hanifin will be asked to do more this year than he was last year. It's just relative to when camp started, when Polo Anderson was also in the mix there. I actually think they feel comfortable with Ronan Hanifin as a third wheel at safety. Are you buying it? Based on the comments of what we know about the scrimmages and stuff, I think they're comfortable with that role for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And several texters pointing out he was the third leading tackler on the team last year. Couple that with the fact that he should take yet another step forward. Remember, he hasn't played the position very long at all. I expect him to be better than he was last year. So I think he will see the field early and often.
654 Roar is the number. We've got more to say on this. We'll take Scott's phone call as well. Hour number one of the program continues right after this.
What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones here. I'm excited to serve as the lead commentator for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles Markets again this season. As per our tradition, our week one matchup will be easily at Pickens to kick the campaign off. You can join Grayson Mann and I this Friday night at 7 p.m. for pregame and 7:30 p.m. for kickoff as we start the 2026 high school football season with a bang. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
On September 2nd, DraftKings Game Day arrives with massive deals, exclusive deals, and an all-day celebration built for sports fans. All roads lead to Game Day. The DraftKings Sports app is now live in all 50 states. That means South Carolina, from Texas to California to Florida. Even fan in on the excitement. One app, every sport, all 50 states. DraftKings Game Day is yours. Remember the date, September 2nd. DraftKings Game Day is the kickoff of the new season, a new era, and the biggest day in sports history. Get ready to celebrate. New DraftKings customers, sign up with the code 1055THEROAR. Spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. That's code 1055THEROAR. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Event trading offered by DraftKings Predictions, a CFTC registered introducing broker. Trading involves risk of loss. Market availability varies. Eligibility restrictions apply. $50 every 7 days via click to claim. Issued in non-withdrawable prediction dollars that expire in 1 year. Ends August 23rd. Terms, dkng.co/predictions promo. Nationwide based on sportsbook, predictions, and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
One size doesn't fit all. Don't make a mistake you'll regret for
a fifth year of eligibility for him. He is in camp with the Seahawks. The way you stop this from happening is no one sign him. That's what happened. Yeah. Like, if a judge is going to say he can play, but he doesn't have a spot if no one signs him. So no one sign him, and it goes away. It's that simple.
But then there's Lane Kiffin, Pete Golden, scumbags like that that would say, you know what, we're going to take this guy.
I hope not. I don't think anybody at this stage, you're 2 weeks away from games, unless you have a catastrophic injury at running back, why would you mess with this? And listen, he's not going to go play for a G5 school that has no money. Yep. He's turning down NFL. If he's going to leave an NFL contract, NFL training camp, then surely you're going to have to pay him. So
right.
I'm trying to figure out, you're either going to absolutely blow up your chemistry in your running back room, or you're going to have a desperate need of a running back if you're going to take a chance of that, or, you know, any other position.
Yep. All right, well, that's all I got. Real quick, before I get out of here, I know I call and tell about my wife, and people are probably tired of hearing about it by now, but
no.
a funny story that involves my wife today. We had a doctor's appointment this morning, and it doesn't affect your show, but hopefully it will in the future. But we're going to a doctor's appointment this morning, and we're talking about coming to the event next week. And I told her, she goes, well, what all goes on there? I said, well, you know, you're going to get free merchandise. You're going to talk a lot of sports. You get a free T-shirt. There's, you know, we'll eat some dinner, whatever. She goes, well, I want a free T-shirt. I said, the only way you're going to get a free T-shirt is if you download the app. She goes, well, okay, I can do that. I said, and you got to make a phone call. So this morning, I made her call Mickey's show and talk to them on the air this morning. So it's her first time ever calling the station. So I got one in the training room right now to call you guys and be a part of this. So hopefully she'll get on your show one day, man.
Slowly but surely, we're getting her, Scott.
Slowly but surely. You
appreciate,
got it,
the
buddy.
Phone call.
All right, y'all have a good day. See
Thanks.
You
Thanks. You too.
There could be some who don't know what Scott was referencing. there. 15 athletes petitioned a judge. 15 athletes who were out of college, who are in NFL training camps, petitioned a judge to be allowed to return to camp, primarily because they were not drafted at all or drafted where they wanted to be drafted. So they see the opportunity for money. They see the opportunity to perhaps enter the draft again next year, which I have questions about. If you've been drafted,
Does that team not still get your rights if you've been drafted?
I wonder. But regardless, so a judge did rule to allow that. So you heard that right. There are NFL players who will return to college, and I don't remember which one it was. I did read of one that is coming back, but I need to find the details on that. Here's a statement from NCAA Vice President Tim Buckley today. He said, courts across the country granting relief to ineligible athletes who already had every opportunity to compete in college, sometimes without even having a hearing, are failing to appreciate the destabilizing effect their rulings are having on college sports. The lawyers bringing these cases seemingly won't be satisfied until every professional athlete can treat college sports as a fallback option, regardless of the opportunities it strips from those who will never have a chance to begin their collegiate sports experience. Listen, when things like this are released, the NCAA is always the one that the first arrows are pointed at. And far be it from me to defend that organization, but in these situations now, they are as frustrated as we are. People say, well, there's just no rules anymore. Yes, there are rules. The NCAA has a lot of rules. They just can't enforce them, as you know, as we have harped on for several years now. And this is just the latest. Here's where I am at the point where I want more of this to happen. We've gone beyond crazy. We need more crazy so that we eventually get to the point where Congress, whoever, says we can no longer keep kicking this can down the road. We have to do something now because it's gotten that crazy. And I don't think we are at the end of crazy yet.
You know what would be amazing here for Congress? And I'm going to give Congress a chance. This is like the impossible challenge. Like, you're never going to do it. But I'm going to give you an impossible challenge. Let's do a skinny bill on this. Let's not. You know what happened to the bill that was supposed to pass? Really, all the bills that were supposed to pass? Every single member of Congress got their hands on it. And they're like, well, I want this little carve out, and I want this little thing, and I don't like this, but I'll do this right here. And you started. It became an omnibus bill. It became 50 things. Let's just do one bill on this. If you sign into an NFL training camp, you can't come back. Let's just do that bill and gavel it today. Why would we not do that? That is so self-evidently good, and no one would argue. Who is arguing that? Logically, nobody's arguing that.
You know, like you're what I'm talking about, and I'm dead serious about this. What you're seeing with the WNBA and former NBA players saying they're going to play in the WNBA. They're calling your hand. They're saying your rules are so crazy that I'm going to advance the nuttiness there and force you to do the right thing. This is the same. That's the way I think about this. Really, I want Ole Miss to have some sort of injury after game four. And they go to free agency and they find somebody on a practice squad in the NFL and bring them back. Really?
Yes.
That's what I think we need to happen at this point, what needs to happen.
So you're the opposite of me, where I say, just don't take them and it goes away. You're like, everyone take as many as you can so that we can highlight how ridiculous this is.
Both would work, but if colleges do what you're talking about, they're going to get sued for collusion.
Yes, I think you can wink nod collusion. But you're right. Yeah. You're right about that. Let's go to Jason in Columbia. Final couple minutes of the hour. Hey, Jason.
You know, Kwok, you guys were talking about gym etiquette earlier and who's approachable and who's not. And I had a guy that I worked out with. This guy looked like an absolute monster, like Miguel Chavis, except for you could see every vein and muscle in his body. But he turned out he's the nicest guy, and we would just be at similar stations. I probably worked out with this guy for like 2 years. And one day I'm sitting at home and whatever, I had TV on. A news story comes up, murderer in custody. And there he is.
No.
And I was like, oh my God, yes, yes. And, you know, I verified it on social media. But I mean, it was impossible to miss the mugshot. And yeah, it just made me think about that when you guys were talking about gym etiquette, you know. But man, it's not funny, but guy was nicest, most soft spoken, gentle giant dude. But I'm telling you, he looked like Miguel Chavis. Like you would not want to, you would want him on your side in the dark alley. But yeah, murderer in custody. And there he was.
I feel like the dead guy would have a different take.
That's true.
Just my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, and I hate to put Kwok in a reverse nerd alert, but I got to do it. Kwok said the 2011 defense was good, and I thought, wait a minute. Am I thinking about a different defense? 71st in total defense, 81st in scoring defense. And we were not good. But by the 2013 season, we were top 25 in both of those. It was incremental creep from 11 to 12 to 13. It did take Brent V a couple of years. But, yeah, I just say that because I thought Kevin Steele was kind of getting run out of town even before the Orange Bowl fiasco. But, Kwok, Ben, the more time goes by, aren't you so thankful to Dabo that we actually got not one but two national championships before it all went to Hades? Because I agree with Ben. It's just got to get as bad as it possibly can and bottom out as quickly as possible so that we hopefully can get like a reverse vacuum of sanity that bubbles back up to the top. But as Reagan once said, most frightening words in the U.S. language or English language, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. So
amazing. Jason, we got to run. Appreciate the phone call. That's amazing because he's 100% right. Hour number two.